You're listening to Critical Reads. This show is designed to help people critically analyze topics like race, culture, and faith, one resource at a time. I am your host, Neff Lesperance.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Critical Reads, the podcast. I am your host, Neff. For those of you who have been listening to my podcast for a bit, welcome back. And for those of you who are new here, welcome. I hope you enjoy slash learn something from the experiences or the books that I've been reading in general. So I know I had previously posted a episode just talking a little bit about me wanting to come back, wanting to maybe expand some of the book choices that I do to add some fun books and just explore different resources that, you know, can still help you learn and grow, but then also maybe create some elements of fun, because I know a lot of the books that I was tackling on here were pretty heavy hitters. I still have a plan to do that while still putting in some heavy hitters in here. But I wanted to share that first in honor of Mental Health Awareness Month in May and in honor of LGBTQ Pride Month in June. I wanted to tackle some book titles from those two particular months. And then from there, I will expand out and add some different things here and there. I'm particularly excited for the next 2 months' selections because they are books and topics that I've wanted to tackle for probably since I started this podcast, particularly because for me, mental health has been such a big, you know, important part of my life, especially as a therapist. And my desire is to have as many people learn about mental health and ways that they can grow and learn about themselves, others, the world around them, and even just be more attuned with the realities of what people who do have mental health issues are going through. And I do think just in general, you don't have to be particularly diagnosed with a mental illness for you to be concerned with your mental health. And so that is something, at least in the first month, I want us to talk about a little bit more, tackle, even give some insights and some tools that I've used that has helped, just so that if you're a person that's struggling or has questions or have concerns or reservations about talking about a lot of those things, you can become a person that's more empowered and willing to have some of these conversations or even engage in the different systems that are available to you as resources. And then for the month of June, obviously I know throughout this whole country there are so many different laws, so many different politicians, so many different people that are particularly targeting the LGBTQ community. I think that's been going on for a while, but, you know, as of late, there's some things that have, you know, escalated a bit. And so my heart in sharing the resources, particularly for that community, is just to create more conversation that is nuanced, that is more informed, that is not just deep-rooted in bigotry and hate for others, especially for me as a person who still somewhat identifies as a Christian. I do have a hard time with, you know, people that are religious who use that as a tool or as a reason to hurt other people or other groups of people because they may not understand or they don't want to respect them. And so I'm hoping in sharing more about what I'm reading and what I'm learning, people will be more willing to just sit down, read themselves, have conversations with people that are different from them, and just learn how to approach care and engagement with the LGBTQ community as from a place of love and a place from respect and understanding rather than a place of hatred and bigotry and this need to oppress others, you know? And I know those conversations aren't easy, but I have seen over time, even in my own experiences, that with time, with patience and understanding, those are things that can truly happen. And so I'm hoping as I model that and as I help just raise awareness of a lot of the different issues that more and more people will be willing to, you know, listen more and not just react. I know that's a tall ask right now in this this state of being or this climate that we're in, but hey, one can hope. But I am using this episode today to mainly just share a little bit about where I've been, what's going on. I know that, like I said, it's been a minute since I've even posted anything, but I'm hoping after this episode and I post some of the others, I can start being more consistent again. But I figured it would be good to at least let you guys know what's been going on behind the scenes and just highlight, I guess, some of the big milestones that have been kind of happening. So I am lovingly entitling this episode, you know, Where Have You Been? Part 2. I'm just kidding. It's called Critical Reads is Back, Part Take 2. Because I wanted to, you know, at least make this a little bit funny, because it is to me that it's taken me take 2 to do this. Hopefully this is what it takes and not a take 3, but hey, we're here, so we'll figure that out. But basically, since the last time we've checked in, I did stop working at a hospital position where I was working as a social worker in an intake unit or intake psychiatric unit. So that is a situation where somebody's at risk of hurting themselves or others, and they come to our facility for stabilization. After working there for a while, I was noticing it wasn't a good fit. You know, I checked in with my therapist. We were talking back and forth, and we recognized, like, on top of me living at home, that situation wasn't healthy. And so as I made a very hard decision to leave that job, I started working at a treatment center. I feel like it was definitely a good spot for me to, like, learn and grow and just be able to enhance my skills as a clinician. But I think after some time, I started recognizing that I wasn't really growing anymore. I think also some relationships with the people that I was having there was also just highlighting that I was really missing community, being home with my family, and just going from work to home for the most part, with, you know, a few hangouts here and there. It was just not cutting it for me as much anymore. And by this point, I was like almost rounding to year 4 of being back home from, you know, leaving Chicago after 2020. And I just knew it wasn't a good spot for me. And so after a lot of conversations with my therapist, and some things just changed around at work, including my supervisor and my clinical director just leaving and the place becoming more and more, I guess, like, toxic for me, I kind of came to the decision where I was like, hey, I might have to put in my notice. This is not working for me. And so I had a day where it was a Saturday where everything just from the beginning of the day to the end of the day was just like rough. Like, I can't even begin to describe. But everything that just could go wrong did go wrong. I was the only therapist working. And me and my friend were just doing the best that we could to make it through, but it just was not working. And I know at one point I ended up just venting to the clinical supervisor there at the time. And I was like, hey, like, this is really hard for me, because I was at a spot where I was becoming so cranky and angry that I couldn't even be a good clinician to the patients, because I didn't have patience for anything that they had to say. And I was feeling like I wasn't being respected by the rest of the leadership team and all these different things. And there's a point in the conversation where the supervisor kind of asked me a little bit about, you know, what I wanted to do, my degree, how much longer I had until I got licensed, all this stuff. And she was kind of like, well, then, you know, why are you still here? Because I did mention, like, I have a degree in social work that primarily focuses in leadership and development and staff development and things like that. And so it was extra frustrating for me to see the leadership team treat staff so terribly when my degree is in this and I know ways to make things better. And I remember sitting there after going through my rant and being like, you know what? You're right. And so that afternoon, I started packing my stuff. And it was funny because my room also had mold in it, which is a whole nother, set of shit. But I think that was a sign. And I remember I went home. I was like, I'm doing this. My friend Anna was like, girl, I see you. I understand. And that following Tuesday, I ended up putting a 3 weeks notice with no plan. But thank God, like in the meantime, I also had applied for a position at another treatment center to possibly work, which is like 40 minutes away from my house. And so, I mean, it was going to be a commute, but it was an option. Part of me was like going back and forth because I was like, I don't know if I want to work in treatment still or do I want to do something else. And at the same time, I had friends that live in Orlando who have been really great supports for me since I was an undergrad. I've been friends with them now for almost 13 years, I think. So they were just really good support. And we would go back and forth about maybe me coming up here. I had a friend in North Carolina as well that I was like, oh, this would be another great option. But I knew I also had to work on my licensure. So we were kind of going back and forth on that one as well. But I made the decision to just put out applications. So I started putting applications out in Orlando and obviously put applications out in West Palm where I'm from. And as I was basically rounding towards the end of my tenure at the treatment center, I got a call from a university in Orlando that was like, hey, we're looking for counselors. Would you be interested in coming in for an interview? I was like, sure. And it was wild because the weekend they called me, I was going to be going to North Carolina on a trip. And so I was very nervous. I was like, oh no, since I'm going on this trip, maybe I won't be able to be at the interview. But by God's grace, they were willing to move the interview and I was able to participate. Things went well. And it was funny because the interview was on the 5th. of February. My last day at the treatment center was like on the 10th of February, and they called me by like the 8th and said I got the job. So it was probably the biggest leap of faith in some ways that I did. But I mean, at the same time, I know I've told people too, like I recognize my privilege in that I was living with my parents. So if I was like, hey, I'm leaving a job, like I know I can always like run back to their house at this point, but it was still wild, like thinking about not having a job because I'm also very independent and I want to do my own stuff. So yeah. And then I ended up leaving the treatment center, which was hard in a lot of ways because I definitely, definitely love the people that I was working with in terms of my clinical team. Just I couldn't do the whole management part of it, but it was one of those decisions where I was like, I need to do this for me. And now I am working at a university. This has been like such a good and odd time because even my therapist and I were talking about it recently, is that I'm happier and I am just flourishing in a lot of ways. I'm out of my house, not having to deal with as many unhealthy family dynamics, which is great. And it's allowing me the space to actually do things that I want to do again. So after work at 5, if I want to go home and just lay there, I can. If I want to go to the gym, if I want to go out, I don't have to think about other people, other things. I'm not like overly stressed. And I don't know. It's been something that I'm genuinely thankful for. And so as I was, you know, transitioning up here and just getting situated, I was at a place where I was like, hey, I can start exploring things that I love to do again. And I know podcasting was one of them. And so I was like, let's make this happen. Let's figure this out. And so here I am. And obviously, I'm giving you guys a very short version of this because there's so many things that has happened and so many things that I am still processing. But I'm excited to, like I said, be able to come back and have some of those conversations, I guess, and just provide an opportunity for you all to continue to think and critically read and critically assess the world around you through my experiences, hopefully. And I'm just happy that, you know, if you are listening, that you're here listening. Even if it's all like all five of you at this point. But yeah, and so I know I will say two of my episodes or maybe like three of my episodes, I did record them ahead of time. I just didn't get to post them. So there are some things that may be from, you know, when I was working at the treatment center or when I was working at the hospital. So I do apologize for that part. But the insight and the things that I share were, I think, were good and you can still gain a lot from. So I'm hoping that you also feel that way. But again, ultimately, I'm hoping as I'm being vulnerable and sharing different things, you guys are also gaining from it and learning and all these different things as well. And I think one of the other things I am recognizing as I'm, you know, figuring out podcasting again and figuring out my brand and just things that I'm trying to do. I know one of the things I've been wrestling with is, I mean, deconstructing, critically reading the world around you and things like that is, it can be very lonely sometimes. It could be very difficult, especially I know myself growing up in the church. There's so many things that I used to find solace in, so many things that I truly used to enjoy and that I, you know, felt comfort in. And now as I'm deconstructing, I know one of the things I'm even figuring out is like, what does it look like to be a person that still loves theology or loves the idea of the church, but is really wrestling with the realities of what the church has done and who the church is right now. And I know that can be also varied because there are really awesome people of God that are doing good things still. And then obviously there's the loud ones that are not doing good things. And so being somebody that's like still trying to push and do the good things and watching the people that are not doing the good things win in some ways, I know that can be really tough. And there's no excuse or no, you know, words that can be said to justify it at this point. And so in deconstructing all this, it's like, what does, you know, really loving God and loving the church, loving my faith look like in the midst of unpacking so much stuff? Even unpacking, like, you know, I know growing up, we were taught, you know, to really put white theologians on a pedestal in some ways. And I don't think they meant to do it intentionally, but there's a lot of white theologians that were just like steeped in racism and sexism and homophobia and all these things that are like the go-tos when we talk about theology. And then just unpacking how much their ways of thinking just kind of seeped into the culture of the church and the culture of theology, the study of God in general. It's hard. And I, not to say that anybody that talks about God or talks about anything is going to be completely free of bias or judgment, or not judgment per se, but maybe bias and prejudice and things like that, right? But I think there's a difference between like teaching and speaking and recognizing that and acknowledging that within what you teach, and then a difference between the person who's putting all that stuff out there, but is not acknowledging those things and pushing it as if it's like the gospel truth. Because I know even with me, as I talk about different things, I recognize like I'm a Black woman, I'm an immigrant, I'm straight. I do identify as cisgendered woman, all these different things as I've brought up before. But I recognize like all my experiences and all my biases, all those things play a role in how I see God, how I see the world, how I see people, etc. And anytime I'm talking about anything, I would want people to not just take my stuff as face value and go do your own research, go read, wrestle with the content yourself. Even books on here that I'm like, I like this book. I want you to still go out there and wrestle with that content. But I don't think we really teach that much in the church level. I think we especially put particular theologians up there. And we're like, oh, especially if they're white presenting men, we're like, hey, this is the person that we go to. And then lo and behold, we find out that they have shit in their, you know, in their closet that they're hiding and doing behind the scenes to hurt people, and they don't want to admit to it, right? And so that puts us all in quite a conundrum. And I don't know, the more I'm deconstructing, the more I'm wrestling, and just even seeing how historically the people that win may reframe different things to fit the narratives that suit them, because they want people to just do the things that they want them to do and believe the things that they want them to believe. It's rough. And I know people can listen to this and be like, oh, you're being a conspiracy theorist or whatever. But even think about in our lifetime, there are people that stormed the Capitol on the 6th. And a lot of us who were working, not working, whatever, we watched this live on TV, this stuff happening. And just to see how much the narratives and the things have changed in real time by the people in power is a wild. Because I remember watching that shit and being like, aren't you guys supposed to be at work? And you had politicians and people that were like proudly admitting like they had a part in it. And then months later, it's like, oh no, we didn't do that. What do you mean? What did you see? And so that is wild to me. Like in real time, we're watching people try to shift narratives and make us feel crazy from what we saw. So imagine like years and years of that happening within our scriptures sometimes, or within theology sometimes, right? And so even thinking as somebody who identifies as Black, just knowing how much scripture and the church was used to make us more domicile, to justify racism, to justify slavery, lynching. I mean, some of the books I've already talked about did that. And then now, you know, to be on the other side of it, trying to unpack that, you're like, what do I believe? You kind of have to sit with yourself and be like, what do I believe now? Or what can be true after all of this? And honestly, I don't have that answer. But I think that is something that I'm learning, that I'm wrestling with in this season. And I'm learning to be okay with that. And I'm okay with even being like, I don't know. And at the same time, recognizing that I love theology, and I'm okay with that I still love theology. Especially because I think theology in this day and era is usually just tied to evangelicalism or Christianity and things like that. But I think theology in general is the study of God. And so me being drawn to the spirituality and all these different things, like, again, I'm open to being wrong, being challenged. But at the same time, I guess one thing I was recognizing too is like, I have a hard time with this idea that we're doing all of this for nothing. I mean, who knows? That could be the case. We're not 100% right about everything, right, on this side. But the idea of doing all of this and going through all of this for nothing, it's hard for me. So, and at the same time, I don't know the answers. So, I don't know. All this to say is, as I'm back, as I'm figuring out, you know, podcasting again and where I am in my faith, and even wrestling with what does it look like to go back to church spaces and all these different things now that I have more of the option and the healthy space to do that. I'm asking you guys to just go on this journey with me and, you know, allow me to still, you know, bump through and fumble through all this material and learn and grow, just like I'm asking you guys to do the same as you're processing what I share. And I know it's not easy to do the stuff. If it was, I think a lot more people will be doing it. Especially, I'm learning that with therapy. If going to therapy and working on being a better version of yourself was easy, a lot more people would be doing it, but it's not. And I think it's evident in the broken relationships that we've seen and have out here that it's not easy. But it doesn't mean that we stop trying. It doesn't mean that we stop encouraging people to do those different things, because we know it could be healing, especially for me as a person that works in this field. So with that said, I thank you all for listening to this episode. I'm not going to keep you guys here for a very long time. This is going to be a short one. But with this episode, I'm also going to drop the first episode that I'm going to be airing for mental health awareness. It's going to be a book that kind of tackles a guide for just caring for your mental health. It's called Are You Okay? Again, this is an episode that I did a while back, but I just thought, you know, just to get us started with Mental Health Awareness Month, even though it's going to be, you know, dropping today on the 27th rather than the first week of, or the first Saturday of Mental Health Awareness Month, I thought it was a good way to kind of like lovingly guide you into that. Because again, I do think the topic of mental health is very difficult, but this book that I will be tackling really does a good job of laying out the groundwork of why therapy can be good, why getting some extra help can be beneficial, and then at the same time giving some practical resources of like where you can go to get this extra help if you need it. And so I hope that as you guys are listening, especially those of you who may be like, I don't want to tackle anything with my mental health, or I don't want to have this conversation because it's hard, I hope that you will just be open to just the experience of seeing somebody, talking to somebody, because I do, as much as we don't want to admit it, mental health and just living in this kind of society that we're living in, where there is some depression and anxiety at the very least, that can also have some health risks and health things that come up for us too. You know, like for those who deal with heart issues, high blood pressure, I do think taking the time to really manage your mental health and practice self-care and just creating safe spaces for yourself can really help with that. And we do not talk about that enough. Our society is very much go, 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 do, 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 do. And, you know, for those that do practice taking care of themselves, a lot of times they are looked down on or frowned upon for doing that. And that's not okay. I do think that should be something that we are more willing and able to challenge as time goes on. So I leave you with that. And I hope you enjoy this episode wherever you're from, whatever you're doing. And I will be here next time when you tune in to this podcast that we call Critical Reads.
Hey there, and thank you for joining me on this week's episode of Critical Reads. To find out more about me or to consume more of my content, please feel free to visit my website, soulsessionswithneff.com, where I share a variety of things, including blog posts, resource lists, and have a regularly updated calendar for this podcast. You can also follow me on Instagram and Facebook using the handle @soulsessionswithneff. While you're at it, If you really enjoy listening to Critical Reads, I encourage you to please subscribe to this show on iTunes, Google, or Spotify, and take some time to rate us on these different platforms. Your reviews will really help the show gain some visibility and also give me some much needed feedback on how the show is doing. I thank you in advance for your time and your support. And until next time, this has been Neff with some Critical Reads.